This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. A recent viral video has highlighted how the personal beliefs of medical professionals might affect their conduct, specifically when it comes to contraception.
So I think we do need to describe the video in question, right? It's a very short one. It's circulating on Twitter. It originated on TikTok. And it shows two pharmaceutical students chiding unmarried couples who purchase postinor pills, which are morning after pills. And the video's caption says, in Malay actually, we're translating, when there are couples yang belum halal who come into the pharmacy to buy postinor pills. I know I said I would translate. I don't know how to translate yang belum halal aside from unmarried. And so this is followed by them sort of posing a little bit and then disappearing from the video, seemingly indicating that if a couple were to come in asking for morning after pills, they would not attend to them.
And this has resulted in quite a bit of backlash, circling around notions of access to medication, for one, but also professionalism about separating your own personal beliefs from the work you do. So Awam Malaysia, for instance, called them out, and their tweet said, "Where's the professionalism? Pharmacists, as advocates of patient health, shouldn't worsen the stigma of buying morning after pills. Sexual and reproductive health, including emergency contraceptive access, is a human right. Don't shame women for taking charge of their bodies." And I think that actually covers all aspects of what this argument talks about, right? That patient health should actually be the priority and not one's personal beliefs.
Yes. And that's actually coming through from Mark Cheong, who is actually a frequent guest of the station, who says, "This is upsetting. As a pharmacist, our priority is to the patient's health and well-being. There should be no room for us to impose our personal religious beliefs onto others. The students in the clip look very young, so I hope they learn to do better by the time they graduate. I can't comment about how others teach their students, but as a lecturer, I've had students that come from various cultural and religious backgrounds. My message has always been that your beliefs are yours alone, and we respect that, but you must also respect the patient's choices."
A lot of the, let's say, the other tweets also circle around this point, and some of them, of course, use stronger language or are more forceful than others. And they bring up a number of different arguments, right? So at Memerang says, "Students ke ni, orang yang dah bertahun kerja pun tak buat macam ni lah. Tak heran pun orang beli Postino ke, Yasmin ke, apa ke. Lagipun mana kau tahu orang tu dah kahwin ke belum? Sekarang ramai orang kahwin muda tau." Basically saying, what does it matter what they're buying? How can you tell whether they're married or not? And we have actually this one, which I thought was quite a relevant point. Irham on Twitter says, "Postinor adalah pil emergency birth control. If pregnancy occurs, tidak ada effect pada baby. We don't police who buys them. We don't know their stories. For all we know, it might be a rape case and the victim is trying her best to get through the ordeal." Which again points to, I suppose, not making a judgment on why a person might need a particular kind of medication.
So this, I think, goes back to something that we've seen throughout the pandemic. Yes, I'm doing that. Yes, I'm playing that card. But I think that there has been a politicization of necessities, a politicization of medication, of health, that perhaps shouldn't happen. This is a reminder, of course, that it predates the pandemic. I think judgments like this have been happening for forever. And I think the theme that is coming through here is absolutely the distinction between medication that is needed for whatever reason the person thinks it is needed, and your personal beliefs and where they intersect, and how that intersection should not actually affect your treatment of the person. I think that this is what it comes down to. Nobody is saying that you cannot hold these beliefs. No one is saying that if you want to be judgmental about this, judgments come from all sorts of places and maybe entrenched in all sorts of beliefs that we have in our personal lives. That's something that you take home. It's not something that you bring to your workplace and impose onto other people. And I think it's that imposition that really becomes the problem.
And I think it's particularly significant that they posted that video in their quotes, and the fact that they specifically talked about administering medication. So all of these indicate a lack of willingness to perform their professional duty. Because if you wanted to post a TikTok on your personal account about your personal beliefs, well, that's up to you. We are talking about a video that's gone viral where two pharmaceutical students essentially talked about how they perhaps might not give morning after pills to unmarried couples. So we're talking about that intersection between doing your job and personal beliefs. And after this, we will be joined by a pharmacist as well as lecturer, Saw Pui Sun. But we'd like to hear from you. Have you ever encountered something like this? And have you felt judged while buying stuff at the pharmacy? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn, and we're talking about pharmacies and when pharmacists are perhaps allowing their personal beliefs to decide what you can and can't buy. Primarily, this comes from a video that went viral where two pharmaceutical students essentially seem to indicate that they wouldn't attend to an unmarried couple wanting to buy emergency contraceptive pills. So we wanted to hear from you. Have you ever encountered something like this? Have you felt judged while buying stuff at the pharmacy? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined by Saw Pui Sun, who is a pharmacist and lecturer at the School of Pharmacy at Monash University, with a special interest in research focused on pharmacists' role in women's health. Pui Sun, welcome to the show.
Hi, hello. Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with your reaction when you first saw that video.
Right. When I first saw the video, I guess I was overwhelmed with the mix of reactions, really. Well, first of all, I guess it's not surprising to have seen such video or expressions on social media, and especially the responses of the netizens following that video. And as we all know, conscientious objection, it's a topic of intense debate within the field of professional healthcare, and including pharmacy, of course. And what I really meant by conscientious objection here is a practitioner's refusal to engage or provide a service, and primarily because that action would violate deeply of their moral and ethical values about what's right and what's wrong. So what really impacted me most following that video is myself having more questions about pharmacists' roles, their beliefs, how prevalent is this in Malaysia, and I guess personally for me, importantly, what happens to those women who will turn away from contraceptive pill supply.
So, a lot of this, I think, is attached to stigma. Can you talk to us about the stigma of buying something like morning after pills and how prevalent this actually is?
Right. So a moment when you talked about morning after pill, I think the fact that we all occasionally use the terminology of morning after pill is clearly itself an issue within the community and what the profession should first look into. So there are terminology concerns about where emergency contraceptive pills or ECPs are referred to as morning after pill, which is inaccurate because essentially one may mistaken it as only taking it in the morning. But in reality is that it should be taken as soon as after an unprotected sexual intercourse. So the reason why I've touched this upon the terminology concern also involves the pharmacist and the community's perception about relating ECPs to abortion and claims that, ECP would lead to ending the life of a fetus. So of course, there are stigma around using ECPs for these reasons. And there are also concerns about premarital sexual intercourse. And that can be, of course, very embarrassing for some women to seek for contraceptive advice and even, for supply of ECPs in the pharmacy.
What kind of training is there for pharmacists when it comes to communication, especially when it comes to items like contraception?
Right. So one that I can think of on top of my head is for pharmacists in training to learn about managing someone who walks into the pharmacies who is perhaps embarrassed about a topic that they want to discuss with pharmacists. So pharmacists in training are taught to discuss such sensitive topics in the counseling room so they could guide, the client or the customer into a private area or into counseling room, because you can probably imagine that a pharmacy can be crowded and your customer probably would not want to, you know, have other customers to be eavesdropping your conversations about contraception. So yes, essentially, pharmacists are not just trained to be medication experts, but also how, you know, you should be communicating information accurately and effectively to your patient, and also considering their behaviors and their emotions and really reading non-verbal body language. Because if you can tell that your patient's shy and they're embarrassed, or even if they're angry, then essentially your patients will not remember or take into heart what you have just told them. So, or even very much, you know, in having confidence about what you have explained to them.
So I suppose the very central issue of all this is it important for pharmaceutical professionals to separate their personal beliefs from their practice? And I guess, and how that happens, right?
Right. So, did not, of course, just happen in Malaysia. I guess globally, this topic is often thrown into the spotlight, whether faith and moral principles and how they are really expressed and work. In many countries, there is a guideline or clause, a conscious clause. There is the right of a healthcare professional to be able to exercise their personal values and beliefs at work, and even in some instances, to opt out of providing such services. But then again, it comes into mind, like doctors, pharmacists are also bound by the Hippocratic principle, which is to first do no harm. And in order to do that, it also means respecting patients' autonomy, meaning to respect patients' dignity, patients' privacy, patients' needs.
So, actually, drawing on that then, if we look at that video, do you see this having an impact on people's comfort level when it comes to purchasing contraception openly?
Right. So in my opinion, I think that people who receive safe and effective care is when, you know, pharmacy professionals recognize their own values and beliefs and do not necessarily have to impose them on other people. While having said so, pharmacies generally provides non-judgmental service. But again, we have seen in scenarios where women were turned away from supply of emergency contraceptive pills, and that women felt that the consultation that they had with some of the pharmacists left them actually feeling quite uncomfortable or embarrassed or even judged. So the question comes back again, if a pharmacist actually refuses to provide such a service that's available from their pharmacy, then does that make them non-compliant with the professional standards for patient-centered care, which is to put patient in the center of care?
I think, as we've been saying, this conversation, I think, rotates around two different things, right? Because the video was highlighting the emergency contraceptive pill, but the subsequent conversations have included birth control pills. Do you think that the perception around both of these medications are actually different?
So if you look at birth control pills, it has its own sets of challenges as well. So we see women who are very concerned about side effects because birth control pills are something that is taken every day, as opposed to emergency contraceptive pills, which is a one pill that you take immediately. So women also have concerns about after taking birth control pills that may prevent them from getting pregnant again, and how, you know, birth control pills may cause cancers later in life. So all this misinformation really boils down to the awareness and the education of the public. So now, how do we provide this reliable information to the community? And one way I see is really through the pharmacist.
So you touched on this earlier about what is actually compliance, right? And I was wondering, are there even guidelines or regulations when it comes to selling birth control pills at the pharmacy?
Right. So that's a very interesting question, which I often ask myself as well. So in other countries, primarily in the UK, there are of course guidelines, the Fraser's guidelines, which really looks at the supply primarily on contraception and sexual health. So very briefly, what these guidelines mentions is about how a pharmacist may supply a contraceptive pill to a young person without consent, without having to speak, for example, to their parents or the carer's consent, and that after a very thorough interview or conversation with the young person, that you realize or you happen to understand that this person is very likely to continue to have sexual intercourse with or without contraceptive treatment. So in this guidelines, it allows the pharmacist to supply the emergency contraceptive pill if deemed safe and suitable. Now, moving back into Malaysia, it's unclear. And there are really no black and white guidelines or regulations as to whether a pharmacist must or should supply emergency contraceptive pills to one who is either, for example, married or even underage. But what we see in the Code of Ethics for pharmacists is that it's important for pharmacists to really accept diversity and to respect those cultural differences while performing their professional services. And if and only if that their religious or moral beliefs prevent them from providing such a service, then they may want to explain it to the patient or even refer the patient to another provider.
So, we've been talking throughout about how ideally pharmacists should conduct themselves or even how they should be thinking about the job that they do. As an educator yourself, how do you have these conversations with young people heading out into the field?
So I think that pharmacy professionals that are moving into workforce should really be thinking in advance about their areas of practice which may be affected, and making necessary arrangements if they don't find themselves in the position where a person's care could be compromised. So there are of course a range of role opportunities for pharmacists, and many of that really can accommodate personal beliefs without impacting on the people receiving pharmacy services. So really, our colleagues with very strong personal convictions do not need to leave the profession. But at the end of the day, my personal opinion is that what matters most is the patients, of course.
Pui San, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Saw Pui San, pharmacist and lecturer at the School of Pharmacy at Monash University, weighing in on a topic that's come up because of a viral video of when pharmacists can do or will, can they say no to prescribing emergency contraception because of their personal beliefs? And we've been asking you for your thoughts. Have you ever encountered something like this? Have you felt judged while buying stuff at the pharmacy? Do continue to weigh in. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this from Des.
So Des says, I still get disapproving and judgmental looks when I'm purchasing contraceptives, but I take it as a compliment. It's probably because I look so youthful. I'm married with kids.
So the disapproving and judgmental looks is something I think so many people have talked about having to contend with. And I often wonder whether they realize how difficult they make it for people who basically need these, basically need them. And just the act of walking into a shop to purchase them.
So I don't want to divert the conversation away from sexual health, which is hugely important. But our question did also focus on that feeling of judgment. And it's something that our guest brought up as well, that there are multiple reasons why you might be embarrassed to walk into a pharmacy and have to purchase something. In fact, Shamila, when you and I were talking off air, the word fungus came up. And I think, it's words like that. It's conditions like that that tend to have people feeling embarrassed. So I think we also want to hear those stories because a lot of this has to do with, I suppose, manner, right? And in some ways, what it is that we expect from pharmacists when we walk into shops or when we are engaging with them, usually about things that are very personal to us.
Yes, because we talk about bedside manner with doctors. I don't know what the equivalent phrase is when it comes to pharmacists, but the truth is that they do sort of encounter us potentially at very vulnerable times when we may be buying various things that are of varying degrees of embarrassment or even in some cases anxiety. And I just think that it is helpful if they think about how we might feel when we are there and we are sorting, you know, searching for their services. Do keep those thoughts coming. Have you ever encountered something like this, whether in relation to contraception or have you felt judged while buying stuff at the pharmacy? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.